Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're the show that takes a whole stack of sources, digs through them, and hopefully pulls out the interesting bits to make things, you know, easier to grasp. Today, we are diving deep into the Rialto Theater. We've got some great excerpts here from the Rialto Theater, a timeless menu. Our goal, really get under the skin of this place, its history, what makes it tick, why people seem to love it so much. You know, right away, I saw this description, an awesome place to see an intimate concert. That really jumped out at me.
Oh, absolutely. The phrase intimate concert, it tells you something, doesn't it? It sort of hints that maybe even way back when, they designed it to feel, well, connected, performers and audience. Mm-hmm. And these little details in the source material, they're like a time machine, right? They let us see the thinking behind it all. Mm-hmm. Not just the peck and mortar, but the whole experience they wanted to build. Something lasting.
Okay, so let's use that time machine. It opens, what, 1920? A long time ago. Mm. And apparently when you see it today, you really get that sense of age. It's right there. You can almost, it's like picture standing out front back then, maybe looking over at the Hotel Congress. The source calls it a sister structure. Downtown Tucson, you'd feel like you stepped back there.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about the builders, the source suggests they might have had some fun in their minds designing it. Like they weren't just building a room. They were thinking, how do we get people to come back? You know, for future events. And that totally connects to what it is now. The source says it's definitely the place to be, right there in that plaza with all the bars, the restaurants. It feels like that original idea really paid off. It worked.
Yeah, that vision. You feel it before you even walked in the door. The outside. Wow. The source talks about how the front of the building just lights up and that big marquee, it sticks out kind of in a V shape, makes a roof over the sidewalk. Okay, so it's been redone since the 20s, but still just filled with lights. Solid ones, blinking ones, lights everywhere, basically screaming, look over here. And it subtly points your eyes towards, you know, the posters for upcoming shows. Smart. Oh, and this is cool. If you come at it from the alley next to World of Beers, there are our shows actually painted, like artistically, right there on the wall. Which is, yeah, a great way to support the arts.
And it's a two-story building, right? The source mentions that. And this this balcony to the right, above the other shops, it apparently looks just like it did back in 1920. Seems unused now, maybe. It makes you wonder, you know, about preserving things. Why keep a balcony if it's not, well, functional in the old way? It's that balance between history and present-day use. Also, the brick, that red brick structure. It wasn't just about being sturdy, though. It was that, too. Brick, back then, often meant like permanence, a bit of grandeur maybe, aiming for something solid, something to last. Even the sidewalk in front is brick. It's all part of that deliberate, long-lasting design.
Right. History and purpose all mixed together, and that carries right on inside. As soon as you step through the doors, you see these wood pillars on each side of the entrance with carvings on them. They look really old. I mean, the source says maybe original or close to it. They're painted black now, which matches the three double doors with gold plating. Gives it a touch of class, that elegance. And the doors have that vertical glass so you can actually peek inside and see, like, flyers hanging with upcoming artist information. Clever little touch. And smack in the middle of the foyer, this old-time-looking ticket booth. Huh. I mean, you just feel like, yeah, that has to have been there since day one. Really anchors the history. And above it all, this nice glass chandelier that dangles over where people would line up for tickets. Plus, three windows over the entrance doors, address on the middle one. Very symmetrical.
Mm-hmm. And the source points out how they thought about the flow, too, once you're actually inside. So imagine a busy Saturday night. Ticket takers are there greeting you. And it's super clear. Sign points entrance over the door to the right of the booth. Exit doors on the left. It's like the flow of traffic on a street, the source says. Makes it feel natural for people to just file in on the right. Very smooth. And what's the first thing you see once you're through that entrance? A bar. Right there. Which suggests pretty strongly that the historic building must have been created with the idea that adults were going to be the main targeted audience. I mean, sure, all ages go now, but the source notes the average age is maybe 21-45. Kind of confirms that initial thought.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, right after that, you start walking up a ramp, which the source calls out as a great idea. Mm-hmm. And it is, right, because it means wheelchair accessibility. That opens it up, allows a more broad crowd to be able to see a show at the Rialto. That feels important, blending the old building with, you know, modern inclusivity. So when you put all these pieces together, This deep dive really shows something, I think. The Rialto isn't, it's not just some old venue. It feels like a really designed experience from the very start, way back when, right up to how it runs today. It's got this amazing mix of history, but also like modern entertainment and making sure people can actually access it. It feels pretty special.
It really does. And what's fascinating about a place like the Rialto is seeing how that careful, intentional design from, gosh, 100 years ago, how it can create spaces that last, that can adapt over time but still feel like themselves, still serve their purpose. It does leave you with a big question, though, doesn't it? How do these places, these historic gems that people love, how do they keep that balance? You know, preserving the history, the architecture people cherish, while also changing enough to meet what today's audiences need and expect. How do they make sure they stay the place to be for, well, the next 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think.